Our text today is Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah chapter 28, but we will begin with a thought from Psalm 2. A yoke of iron. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for granting us the privilege of having your word written in all truth and copies, that we may all together open your book and see what you have said. Lord, as we examine your words this day, these are the words of life, the words of guidance. As you have said, that your word is a lamp unto our feet, light unto our path. Guide us in this life to be faithful servants and preachers of the truth as we learn more of your truth today. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. The heathen imagine a vain thing. What is that vain thing that the heathen imagine? As it says in Psalm 2, verses 2 and 3, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. The vain thing that the heathen imagine is that they can break away from their accountability to God and act totally independent of him. So is God really in control? Here's a series of questions. What does it mean for God to be God? Did you ever think about that? I think about that a lot. What does it mean, really, for God to be God? Does God have the right to demand that nations give him homage? Does God have the right to demand that nations acknowledge that their authority comes from him? And does God have the right to punish nations if they do not do these things? The answer is yes, yes, and yes, because God is king of all the earth. Jeremiah chapter 28. Verse 1 gives us the context. It says, and it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hanani, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying. It was the fourth year of Zedekiah's reign. Nebuchadnezzar had already come twice. It already carried away the best of all of the people, including Daniel and his three friends. It already carried away a king named Jeconiah. And he has already carried away many of the best things out of the temple. It is 5 years until he will come again, and the nation of Judah will end. Everyone knows how powerful Nebuchadnezzar is. It's in all the news of the day. Oh, they had news. They didn't have television, and maybe they didn't have newspapers, but they had news. There were reports always. Word got around, and people knew what was going on. Everyone knows that there is a constant threat that Nebuchadnezzar will come again. He's come twice already. And it hangs over the people. The threat of his coming again. When something happens once, and it happens twice, You know it can happen again. We have just passed the anniversary of September 11, 2001. 14 years. Can you imagine it's been that long? Can it happen again? Do we live with that in the back of our minds? Maybe we don't think consciously about it every day, but we live with that in the back of our minds with all of the terrorism that's in the world today. Do we live with the thought that it could happen again? Sure we do. Israel lives with the threat of something, of a bomb, a missile coming into their land. Every day they live with that. Well, this is what it was like in Jeremiah's day. The constant threat hanging over them that Nebuchadnezzar will come again. There is a prophet. His name is Hananiah. And he claims to speak for God. How many people today claim to speak for God and put words in God's mouth that aren't there? That's an expression. They don't actually put words in God's mouth, but you know what I mean. Well, that's what Hananiah is going to do. Everything he says is a lie. His message, however, is very clear. And it's our theme for this year. Everything is going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Notice verse 2. This is what Hananiah says. Now, you have to understand the context. This is what Hananiah says. He says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts." Not really, but that's what Hananiah is saying, okay? So you understand the context. Verse 2, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Now, I find something very interesting here. Like many liars, they tend to contradict themselves. I take God's word as it is, exactly, stated. And I see what Hananiah said. Now, you notice in verse 2, he says, "I have broken," speaking for God, "I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon." Now, in the grammar of Hebrew, that is stated, as it is in English, something as if it has already happened. Then what does he say in verse 4, at the end of the verse? "For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." And in Hebrew grammar, as it is in English, it sounds like it's something that hasn't happened yet. Or it's at least not completed. Now, which is it? He has broken it or he will break it? Little contradiction there, isn't it? Did Hananiah know that he was lying? Or did he really believe what he was saying? Now, for sure, he did not want to believe what Jeremiah had been prophesying. What had Jeremiah been prophesying? Not only that Nebuchadnezzar would come and take Judah and Jerusalem, but the surrounding nations as well. Hananiah didn't want to believe that. So, claiming that he's speaking for God, he testifies that what Jeremiah is saying is not true. There is an alternative reality. Now, it's clear from what Jeremiah says down in verse 15, and we'll come to that eventually, that what Hananiah is saying is a lie. And Hananiah certainly had to know that God didn't really say those things unless some demonic spirit gave him those in trying to impersonate God. But But there's this interesting thing called creating your own reality. Have you ever heard of that? They call it New Age philosophy, but it's really only regurgitated Eastern mysticism that's been around for thousands of years. Creating your own reality. I came across this article. It says, 7 tips to create your own reality. In the introduction, here's how they define it. There are simple steps that you can take to make a better you. Oh, here we go. The first thing to be done is to make the decision to create the reality you want by putting energy into the universe that confirms who you are as the person you want to be. Isn't that wonderful? We can put energy into the universe and create our own reality. When you create your own reality, you empower yourself and disempower those who would seek to enforce you to conform to their ideals. Translation. When people say to us, don't force your religion on us. That's what they're talking about. They're so, I'm telling you, people's minds are so saturated with Eastern mystic thought from the New Age influence that this is rather common. Additionally, it says, by creating your own reality, you construct a foundation upon which the measure of success is completely up to you. Oh, you can be anything you want to be. Have you heard that? When you create your own reality, it should be for the purpose of putting energy out into the universe that will begin remaking the world as you want it to be. And then it gives you the 7 tips. I'm not going to give you the 7 tips. Sorry. They're useless anyway. There's another article, Creating Your Own Reality and the Power of Thought. And by the way, do you ever hear of Norman Vincent Peale and the Power of Positive Thinking? Well, there is a very popular preacher these days by the name of Joel Osteen who basically has reworked Norman Vincent Peale's concepts of power of positive thinking, and it boils down to basically the same thing. You can be whatever you want to be, and you can be rich, and you can be well, and you can be whole, and you can be this, and you can be that, and you can be the other thing. This article says, we create our own realities whether we are conscious of it or not. Oh, did you know the reason that you're so sad and despondent and down in the dumps and everything goes wrong for you is because that's the reality you've created for yourself? And you can change all of that. Well, Hananiah says, I don't like the reality that Jeremiah has been preaching, so I'm going to create another reality. And the reality that I create by my positive thoughts is that instead of Nebuchadnezzar coming again and overrunning us and taking us away, I'm going to have God break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, and we're going to get everything and everybody back, and everything is going to be okay. Oh, by the way, this has permeated the thoughts of even our politicians today. I came across this quote. It's offered by Ron Suskind. It was printed in the New York Times in October 17 of 2004. And he speaks about an interview he had with a senior advisor to President Bush. And they were discussing reality-based community issues. And this is the quote from a Republican conservative senior advisor to President Bush. It'll shock you. Quote, "That's not the way the world really works anymore," he continued. "We're an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality, judiciously as you will, we'll act again, creating other new realities, which you can study too, and that's how things will sort out. We're history's actors, and you, all of you, will be left to just study what we do." Whew. Well, I think that's what Hananiah is doing. He thinks that he can speak and create a reality. So Jeremiah responds, Jeremiah chapter 28 and verse 5. "Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord." This is a very public conversation that's going on now. Hananiah is saying this to everybody that's assembled there on the Temple Mount. It's not just the priests, but a large gathering of people on the Temple Mount. And Jeremiah responds to him. And what does Jeremiah say? Verse 6. "Even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, the Lord do so." It's a sarcastic response. But wouldn't it be great if that's what the Lord would do? Sure, yeah, we want the Lord to do that. That's great. The problem is, that's not what God's word says. But notice all of verse 6. "Even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place." Be wonderful if God would do that. Amen, be it so. And in verse 7, Jeremiah says, "Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people." In other words, he says, amen, we love the Lord to be able to do that. That's what we all want the Lord to do. But now hear this. This is actually the word of God. Verse 8. "The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence." He says, I am not the first prophet to preach bad news. This book is full of bad news, isn't it? For those who reject God, for those who refuse to listen to his word. There's a lot of negativity in here. There's a lot of judgment in here. It's not very welcomed when we preach it. We preach the judgment of God. We preach hell. We preach the lake of fire. We preach eternal damnation for failing to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And there are a lot of people in the churches out there who say, oh, you have to say positive things. You have to be positive. You have to lift people up. Well, I want to tell you, if people don't understand they're on their way to hell, all the emotional lifting up that we do for them is not going to do them any good whatsoever. They're still going to go to hell. They can feel fine about themselves here in this life, but that's not going to keep them from hell. Jeremiah says, I'm not the first preacher who preached bad news. Throughout history, God's prophets have prophesied against many countries. They've preached against great kingdoms. They've preached of war. They've preached of evil. They've preached of pestilence. Now, he says in verse 9, the prophet which prophesieth peace. Now we're talking about a different kind of message. And you better be careful if you're going to preach peace. Because we will know whether or not you're a true prophet by whether or not your prophecy comes to pass. Look at the whole verse. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Now, he has a biblical basis for saying this. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22, where it says, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." In other words, the mark of a true prophet is whether or not what you prophesy actually comes true. And so Jeremiah says to Hananiah, if you're going to preach peace, then we need to see peace. It needs to come to pass. Well, Hananiah doesn't like this rebuke in front of all the people. And so in verse 10, it says, in Jeremiah, back to Jeremiah chapter 28, and verse 10, it says, "Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it." Now, Jeremiah's been wearing this yoke made out of wood, we will find out in a bit, as part of the prophecy that he was given over in chapter 27. Remember where we looked the last time, chapter 27, and verse 2, he was given this prophecy to give, verse 3 in Jeremiah 27, 3, to Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, and Zidon. Well, in verse 2 it says, "Thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes and put them upon thy neck." So he was to make this wooden yoke and carry it around on his neck. Those prophets back in those days were told to do some visual aids. You know, they didn't have overhead projectors. Oh, we don't have those anymore either, do we? Yeah, there is one back here. We hardly ever use it. But what is it? PowerPoint. They didn't have PowerPoint. They didn't have chalkboards even. So they did other things for visual aids, and God had him make this yoke of wood and carry it around his neck. And Hananiah, Jeremiah's been carrying this thing around while he's been preaching this judgment on the other nations and on Judah and Nebuchadnezzar coming. Can you imagine this? That would get people's attention, wouldn't it, if you'd go downtown York and be carrying this big wooden yoke around your neck? Like, everybody'd notice, you know? So here is Jeremiah in the Temple Mount. There's this whole crowd of people standing around and listen. And the way the thing was constructed, their voices would bounce off of the walls and everybody could hear what was saying. It was like natural amplification without electronics. Pretty neat stuff. And so Hananiah has been saying this and Jeremiah's been saying this, and Jeremiah rebukes Hananiah, and Hananiah goes over to Jeremiah, and he takes this yoke of wood off of his neck, and he breaks it right there in front of all the people. Chapter 28, verse 11. "And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. And Hananiah doubled down and says, I declare this is the way it's going to be. And you know what? This time, Jeremiah doesn't say anything. The end of verse 11 says, and the prophet Jeremiah went away. He didn't say anything. I think this is a very mature move on Jeremiah's part. Because you can imagine the emotion is starting to set in the situation. How many of you have been involved in a conversation with someone debating truth, and the tone of voice begins to elevate a little bit, you get a little excited, and then you find yourself saying things impulsively or reacting in a reactionary way, and it gets a little out of hand. And Jeremiah says, I'm not going to pursue this because I don't want to say my words. I only want to say God's words. So he simply walks away. Undoubtedly, to wait for a message from God, which comes. Verse 12. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, verse 13, go tell Hananiah, and this is what Jeremiah ultimately goes and tells Hananiah. First and foremost, thus saith the Lord. This is really what God says. Hananiah has to know. He hasn't had a word from God. And the word of God, the real word of God, the true word of God, has such power to it. When Jeremiah goes to Hananiah, he says, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. Oh, not easily broken. The yoke of wood was designed, of course, to be lighter so that Jeremiah could carry it around on his shoulders as it's around his neck. But when he puts a yoke of iron on the nations, that's something else. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations. Edom and Moab and Ammon and Tyre and Zidon and Judah, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. Remember what it said back in Deuteronomy? If it's a false prophet, and he claims to speak for God when God didn't say anything, what's going to happen to him? He's going to die. Now, this is rather bold. Of course, you could say, well, everybody's going to die. But I take it that Hananiah is not 100 years old, expecting to die any day now. In the prime of his life, in good health, not expecting to die. In fact, he's expecting to live at least 2 years and see God break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar and everything come back. But what happens? Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 17. So Hananiah the prophet died. What, 20 years later? No. The same year in the seventh month. Just a couple months later, he died. Just as Jeremiah prophesied. So what do we know about Jeremiah? He's a true prophet. There is a reason Jesus is called the King of Kings. His authority is higher than all the kings of the earth. If they do not yield to him, if they violate the mandate he gives to them to rule and reign, then he has the authority to remove them from their land and give it to another. Wishful thinking on the part of man cannot alter what God has decreed to happen. Wishful thinking on the part of man. There's a lot of that going around today. And in that wishful thinking, there is the thought that we can create the reality we want. We can alter history. We can rewrite it to be what we want it to be. And we can change the way things are in the world by just saying what we want it to be. I referred to this last week of follow-up. Remember I told you how they changed the information, the record about ISIS to make them look weaker than they really are? You know it's worse than that? I'm not going to read you this article, but I have a whole article here. It's just September the 18th, an update on that same issue. It's even worse. Now, I think these people are able to do this with a clear conscience because they subscribe to the idea that we can create the reality we want by just declaring it to be. But wishful thinking on the part of man does not and cannot alter what God has decreed to happen. We looked at this at the very beginning. At least I mentioned it. Would you go to Psalm 47, verse 7? And look at the verse. A simple but very profound statement. Psalm 47, verse 7, for God is the king of all the earth. Is that true? Absolutely. Is he still on the throne? Is he still in control? Does he have a plan for what's going to happen here on the earth? Is it going to come to pass in spite of the realities that men seek to create for themselves? Absolutely. Would you go over to Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 10? Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 10. And notice what Jeremiah says. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Go over to Philippians chapter 2. We're most familiar with the verses that just precede this, where in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And we know about these verses, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. You know, it'd be so much better to be able to bow the knee voluntarily, because we've trusted in Christ as our Savior. but this will come true. There will come a day, it's recorded in Revelation chapter 20, where the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of all the earth, will sit on a great white throne. And all who are in death and all who are in hell will be raised up and stand before him. And they will be compelled to bow the knee to the King of all the earth. Because he is the true God and an everlasting King and King of all the earth. And there are a lot of people in this world that have wishful thinking. Thinking that they can create a reality that is an alternative to what God has said. Thinking that they can simply ignore the word of God and make the world be what they want it to be. But it'll never happen. Because he is the King of all the earth. Someone wrote a song. The author is unknown. Somebody put it to music. It goes like this. There are moments on our journey following the Lord where God illumines every step we take. There are times when circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move he makes. When the path grows dim and our questions have no answers, turn to him. There are days when clouds surround us, the rain begins to fall, the cold and lowly winds won't cease to blow, and there seems to be no reason for the suffering we feel. We are tempted to believe God does not No. But when the storms arise, don't forget we live by faith and not by sight. Bow the knee. Trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee. Lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of his plan, in the presence of the King, bow the knee. Do you know what a privilege it is to be able to voluntarily bow the knee to the King of Kings? Every day of our lives, and especially on the days when we don't understand why things are going the way they are, we can't seem to find reasons or answers. We ask the question why, we don't know why. It's okay. Just bow your knee to the King of Kings. He's in control. And he makes no mistakes. When the people in the world seem to be getting away with so many things, and we wonder, why doesn't God intervene and take care of this? Just remember, he has a plan. And all the wishful thinking of the people in the world cannot alter that plan. God is in control. And there will be a day when everyone will be compelled to bow the knee to the King of Kings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our wonderful Savior, for the Lord of our lives, for the King of all the earth, the one to whom we bow our hearts and our knees in adoration and thanksgiving for the salvation that we have and for the hope that keeps us going each and every day. Knowing that your plan is perfectly intact, you will keep your promises. And you will never lose control. To the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, we give praise this day. In Jesus' name, amen.